The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
I know your dad was a Marine.
No, my dad was Army.
Army. Okay, my dad was Army as well.
I think he doesn't. He didn't talk about it too much. I don't think he enjoyed his.
Do you know where? Do you know where he was stationed?
He's in the Philippines during Vietnam.
Oh, he was right. I think you did.
He was aircraft mechanic. So he would like. That's where he was doing all his repairs and such.
Nice.
In the Philippines. Or from what I gather, I said, he doesn't offer up a lot of info about that time. And my grandfather was a Marine.
It
was World War II.
Yeah, my grandfather was a Marine and Army. He served in both. I forget which is first.
You can do that?
Yeah, he did both. I mean, not simultaneously.
Regular
but he
Bo
did
Jackson
one.
Out there.
Yeah, got out and went back and did the other.
But, give me more.
Maybe,
I want
maybe,
more.
Maybe he's just full of shit. He was kind of a blowhard.
Then I
he was lying to me that whole time.
And then I was an astronaut, Dave.
He could have very easily just been pulling my leg, but I understood it to be that he served both in the Army and the Marines.
Hot dog there.
So, who knows?
I guess that's strange. I don't know if it's strange or not. I have no armed service experience, but to go from one to the other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hey, why not? Try them all.
You ever have any desire when you were a young man, teenager coming up, you have any desire to go into the armed forces?
Fuck no.
No.
I almost fell for them fucking Navy commercials once. Yeah. Me and my buddy Bob, and like a complete... I don't know if I told you, like a real wastoid summer, mm-hmm. a real like high all the time, laying in his parents' living room, watching a parade from our own community days from the year before mm-hmm. on TV.
Okay.
We're watching the community days parade from the year before on TV.
Why would they even air that?
Because it was public access and we were just high and fucking idiots. And then we're flipping around, and I remember a commercial for like the See the World. This is pre 9/11, you know, See the World in the Navy. And there's a brief moment where we just talked about it, like, ah, man, look at us. We're not doing shit.
Mm-hmm.
What if we join the Navy? And that was it. It lasted as long as a commercial did.
I remember seeing in the late 80s some, I don't know if it was a commercial or a precursor to a TED talk or something, but and now this also could be Mandela effect. I could be making this up, but I feel like I saw Louis Gossett Jr. give a speech to a bunch of troubled youth, kind of a scared straight situation. And I remember him, he had a guest up there who was a fighter pilot, and I don't know why I remember this so specifically, but he was like, Michael Jackson ain't bad. This is when Bad was a big hit. Michael Jackson ain't bad. This guy right here, he's bad. He flies an F-16 fighter pilot, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, yeah, Louis Gossett Jr., he is bad. Maybe I'll be a fighter pilot. And that lasted for about a week, and then I lost interest.
That's the thing. Everybody thinks they're going to be the fighter pilot, and then you get in.
Yeah,
no, there's a lot of other stuff you just wind up doing.
SNL back in the, I think, early 80s had a great send up of that where they're just, it's like a commercial, you know, those typical Armed Forces recruitment commercials.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, and it's just a bunch of different shots. It's a montage of like a bunch of sailors on a ship just mopping and cleaning toilets and stuff like that. And I forgot, the tagline was something like, it's not just serving your country, it's $147 a week or whatever they were getting paid back then. But the whole commercial was like, join the Air Force so you could come on here and clean some toilets.
That was, yeah, that was one of my earliest bits, was talking about those recruitment commercials. And I do not remember how the bit went, but it was, yeah, I thought, shit, man, I can't even get close to remember. But yeah, it was, I didn't know anybody that went in. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody was going to go into the service. I guess a few half people my from my high school did. Went, but I wasn't friends with them, so I didn't know what it was like. Mm-hmm. And my one buddy who was in the Navy, he just told us, like, when you go over the equator on a boat for the first time, they like, they had some like big sort of like giant like industrial tubing or something, and they throw all the rotten food in there, and you have to crawl through it.
Ugh.
Like, they haze you.
Ugh.
Yeah. I have no desire. I had no desire to do it. And I see, yeah. I like, it's this, you know, they dangle it in front of you like, oh, you'll pay for college. Mm-hmm. I had a friend who went in the National Guard or the Reserves and was like a aircraft inspector or something. He came back though and came back like it was born on the 4th of July. Like, oh, what was it like? He's like, I can't talk about it. It's like, yeah, you didn't do anything. It's because nothing, nothing happened.
I can't talk.
He's a bit of a dramatic friend of mine. But yeah, that just trying to, you know, hey, pay for college, you get all this stuff. And then I hear about how bad the veterans care is and how that's so underfunded. Like, well, if you're going to get people to serve, how about the aftercare? How about fund... You should have everything. If you're like, oh, these are the heroes. Cool. Give them everything they need when they get home. Oh, you don't do any of that. Oh, okay. Cool. Or they do. I'm talking out of school. I don't know, man.
I thought about in high school, but like by the time I graduated high school, I had been playing sports for about 12 years. Mm-hmm. And just the thought of 3 or 4 more years as somebody in a uniform just screaming at me and barking orders. Like, my whole, from 5 to about 17, my whole life was just doing push-ups and running up hills and just doing whatever the coach told me to do. Just that discipline and that structure and just, and that all sounds good on paper, but after a decade of that, you're like, why doesn't everybody just shut the fuck up? Stop yelling at me. I'm tired. None of that sounds appealing. Let me go into the armed forces so I can just be yelled at for another 4 years. No thanks.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said, I guess, for like someone who needs discipline or like troubled youth.
Yeah.
I'm sure certain parts of my life would have benefited if I had some sort of structure.
Of course, there's definitely good to it.
I don't know. Like, my mom tells a story about like we were going on vacation. And like it was like the first we were with my grandparents. She saw my dad's dad, like folding his clothes, like 2 days in. She's like, well, like packing his clothes. Like, what are you packing for? He's like, no, these are all my dirty clothes. He would like neatly fold all his dirty clothes.
I do that
really
when I travel, just for the sake of because storage. I always overpack. Yeah, just so it'll fit back into my bag on the way home.
I guess that makes, but he would also like first like face up, like he, like my grandmother had to use like a label maker to put the date. Like, this all makes sense in theory. It just seems pretty tightly wound. Like, put the dates on all the canned goods and then like stack them like grocery store old, is like face, which sure makes sense, but it seems a little rigid. if you're asking me.
Yeah.
Or, of course, anything sounds rigid to me. And right now I'm broadcasting from a pile of my own filth. So far be it from me to criticize.
What do you mean?
Oh, there's a pile of papers that probably has some about health insurance in it. I'll get to that. Over there, that's this big old jumble of cables. Sometimes I plug them in to make things work for podcasts. And over there, that's a pile of clothes that aren't clean, but they ain't all the way dirty yet. So I could put them on a few more times. So that's what I'm talking about.
But, oh, that's funny.
But I just, yeah, he would put okay, you wash your socks. Fine. The next socks up are the cleanest ones. And you put the ones that you just washed go all the way in the back and they all get rotated. But with no, but no regards to like color. He was also like, full golf clothes in the 70s. So this dude would roll out straight looking like an unpainted circus clown with like polyester plaid pants and a different colored polka dot shirt just because that was at the end of the line of what's cleanest. I thought it was fun. Oh, I mean, maybe he was being fun too, or maybe he was just... Speaking of which, I hear there's like F-16 fighters that fly over the house here. Because I think the National Guard is, in general, mm-hmm. I think the National Guard is at the Portland airport here, and they fly over pretty often. I think, you know, they could follow the Willamette Valley down. I don't know what they're doing, but I see them. It's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. What you doing today to celebrate?
Shout out to the veterans and active service members listening to the show. Yeah. We can't... offer you to board early or anything. There's no benefits here for you, but thanks.
No.
Thanks for your service.
Thanks for doing what you do or what you did. I'm glad somebody stepped up and did it because it wasn't me.
I'm going to go ahead just because we brought up Lou Gossett Jr. I think it was his time in Iron Eagle that really made him.
I was about to say, I think that's why he was given that speech, his connection to fighter pilots.
But I'm on his Wikipedia page. One of his married three times. One wife name is a Christina Mangossing. Mm. Mangossing.
That's a red flag.
That's a. I don't know. Sorry, that was funnier than I thought it was.
Mangossing.
Mangossing. Christina Mangossing.
Well, the second part of that's odd too, since his name is Gossett. What are the odds that a gossip would marry a man gossing?
Maybe there's a phonetic attraction.
Maybe.
Who knows? Boy, we're full of shit today. Anyway, enough with old Lou Gossett Jr. I'm going to go.
He's still alive?
He is. 86. Okay. 86 years old.
Good for him.
We're going to go to Rachel's brother's house for a little cookout.
There you go.
See if it rains. Been raining all week. Been a wet one up here in Oregon.
Love a good cookout. Yeah. I like Memorial Day, not so much so to sit around and memorialize those who died serving our country, even though I know that. I love the fact that is it officially the kickoff of summer or is it just unofficially? Like, is today, in terms of the
first day
the
of summer is June 21st.
June 21st, okay. But this is like the unofficial kickoff of summer because it usually coincides, obviously, around the end of the school year.
Yeah.
You know, depending on where you live, either school's already out or it's about to be out. But, yeah, I always loved just the official kickoff of summer. Like, all right, okay, now we can really focus on the good times.
We can really focus on the good times, everybody. Mm-hmm.
The swimming pools, cookouts.
I agree.
Loved it.
I agree with
loved
it.
Loved it, man.
What about you? What are you doing?
Jack shit.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't have any plan. I haven't made plans yet. But,
a whole lot of fuck off.
No, I think we're just going to hang out. I'm, let me go ahead and get into this story. I'm moving slow today, Kyle. I'm okay. Tender and brittle.
Tender and brittle.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I fell in the shower the other day.
Welcome to the club.
Had my first... I guess my first old man moment.
What?
I busted my fucking ass.
Really?
I'm still injured.
What'd you?
Like,
It's old man week. Bad. I got called an aging comedian by somebody after a show on Saturday.
Aging comedian.
Like, you're an aging comedian. I'm like, hey, hey.
What's that mean?
Well, apparently, apparently it means we fall in the shower. So, oh, not wrong.
God.
What'd you do here, Dave?
All right, so.
Was there a level of intoxication involved?
Zero. It was in the morning.
So it really is just an elderly thing.
Just, well, it wasn't I was
trying to give you a loophole.
Yeah. All right. Imagine the shower is like, all right, my shower, like a car, all right? It's your car.
Scalding and hot car. Imagine the shower is like a car, and my nuts are the dog left inside of it on a hot day. The way I like it.
So if the nozzle, the shower head is like the steering wheel, I don't know if you remember my bathroom, but we're lucky enough. I finally have a bathroom with a window in it.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a big get.
It is nice.
Love, and more so, not only do we have the window is technically in the shower.
Yeah, I dig that.
So when you're standing in the shower, you know, if you look to your left, there's a window.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, how about that? There's a window.
But no, when it's like cold out and you can crack that open, yeah, your hot shower, oh, a little cold breeze, I dig it.
Love it.
Yeah.
I love it. So I'm getting out of the shower, right? So I'm out of the shower, but then because the window's open, I'm expecting a package from UPS, and that's another story that I'll tell you a little later in the show here. got a real beef with UPS today. So I hear a truck coming.
This show is just Dave's senior hour. And then they told me it was going to be the 2-for-1 coupons down at the Ralph's, but they wouldn't honor them on account of that sundown. Well, one was expired, but the other one wasn't.
So I get out of the shower, right? But then I turn because I hear a truck coming, and I imagine now I'm standing on the driver's side of the car / shower, right? And I'm leaning into the driver's side window, so my body is. Does that make sense? I'm having a hard time explaining this.
Yeah.
So we got this dumb little rug right outside the shower.
All right.
So now I'm outside the shower, but I turn and face my body back inside the shower to look outside that driver's side window, if you will. So I'm kind of leaning into the shower, although my feet are on the outside by the passenger, where the passenger door would be, on the rug. And I leaned a little too much, and then that rug slipped out from under me.
Okay.
And wham! Like, my body just fell, and my rib cage just smacked the edge of the tub / shower door.
I was going to say, is it like a door with rails, or is it like a shower curtain?
It's a door.
Ooh, so it's like...
No rails. Yeah, it's just got
sharp.
These little dumb... Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
dude.
And my God, it really was not good.
It doesn't sound good. It sounds bad. That was today? That was yesterday?
That was 3 days ago.
3 days
here,
ago.
I'm sending you a text picture here. Just don't mind the bulbous gut.
The genitals.
don't mind that.
Let's take a look here, folks. Maybe we'll put it up on the Instagram if it's...
Oh, my God. It hurts so bad.
So,
it's the first time in years that I've, like, had a spill or a tumble or an accident like that.
Dude.
Where I put my body in jeopardy.
You start, like, empathizing with old people. Because, like, that's just a big event.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Fuck. Oh, Dorothy fell. You know, like, that's a big event. If somebody falls, you know, Geraldine took a spill. Now she's living with her kids. It's like a life-changing event at an age.
Yeah, and I've always
dreaded
that day.
It's not going through. You might be too fat in the picture to fit through text.
Yeah.
Dave, I don't like. I know you'll laugh at those jokes, but I want people to know that I feel bad.
Oh, no. No. I deserve them.
No,
and
it's
I know
only funny.
They're coming from a good place.
God damn, dude.
It says delivered here.
Oh, I got it. I just got it.
Fuck, oh, you got it now. Yeah.
Actually, and you look pretty trim in there, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I'm getting back down.
You're doing all right.
Getting back.
But that looks gnarly. That looks real gnarly.
Yeah. Yeah, it hurts so bad.
But did you crack a rib, break a rib?
I don't think so. I've cracked a rib before.
Yeah.
And this didn't hurt as bad as that. Like, so. But yeah, it hurt my pride more than anything. And I was just thinking, literally, like the day before this happened, my size mixed with my age, I'm now in that category of people who've, you know, I'm vulnerable to falling. Like,
well, everybody's just vulnerable. It's just you got a little more inertia on the way down. Yeah.
Like when I go down the steps, we got a staircase. Well, you've been over to my place. We got the little staircase hallway leading up to our place. When I go down it, especially in flip-flops, it's just I just keep waiting for like a tumble. Keep waiting for like an ankle to give out, and then I just go rolling.
We my old place, because it had the hardwood steps and just wearing socks going down to get the mail, and had some real close calls.
Yeah.
Like, that's not even an age thing. That's just a, oh, shit, this is slippery. But I have that. I mean, I've had, like, my knees have been messed up for so long with, you know, tendonitis and gout and everything that, like I cannot confidently hop down off of something. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure I could, like, handle it, but I'm like, no, my knees are at the point where, like, ah, you know what? We just feel like not doing our job on this one step you're going to take.
Yes, yes.
We're just going to buckle. It doesn't even hurt. It's just like... Mm-hmm. Just bend. Just nope. Nah.
Fuck, yeah, it's scary because I've never thought about that. I've never had to worry about my body's limitations in terms of just everyday activity. You know, I'm not a mountain biker. I'm not a skateboarder. So, you know, it just, I think, oh, I'll be fine. I don't do anything extreme. Another example, if I ever have to, if I have to, like, do that little, like, for example, if ever I'm crossing a street, you know, even if I have the walk sign or whatever, I give it a little jog. I give it that NBA player checking into a game.
I give it that a little shuffle. Jog.
I give it a little shuffle, you know, to let the other people know, hey, I'm putting a little hustle on it. You know, I'm trying to get out of your way. But if I like jog across the street, like, if, you know, now I'm like a train where it takes a while for me to stop. I can't just stop on a dime. I got to all that inertia and centrifugal force has to come to a rest.
A
on
Dave
its own.
In motion tends to stay in motion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't. I don't have like a cool
a Dave,
jog.
Yeah.
Anymore.
A Dave cannot be created or destroyed, only transferred.
But yeah, I mean,
yowza, man,
dude, I think this is the thing that's finally going to get me in shape, because it's not even like, all right, when you're young, when I was in my 20s and 30s, it was like, all right, I got to lose weight for aesthetic reasons. I want to look better. I want to attract a babe, whatever. Mm-hmm. Then like in my late 30s, 40s, I was well aware, like, all right, asshole, now you need to lose weight because you're going to die. And I've somehow come to terms with that because it's definitely – it hasn't motivated me to just completely change my lifestyle. But I think the fact that I just – I don't want to just be vulnerable to just – I just don't want to be the guy that's always falling down. Oh, Dave took a spill. It's just so pathetic.
Well, you know, I was just talking to my mom about it, about like, just, you know – being old, and about how, like, if you don't take care of yourself, or it's one of those things, like, yeah, 45, like, I could probably do a cartwheel, because you remember you can do a cartwheel, but if you tried one, your bones would snap.
Yeah.
Whereas if you are just staying even remotely active and doing little things, like, I never thought I was going to be a gym guy. Now I'm like, all right, man, I'm going to try and make this enjoyable for myself. But again, I'm not trying to get ripped or in shape. I'm just staving off death.
Yeah, trying to prolong it.
And Rachel's pointed out too. It's like, yeah, you don't want to be a stiff old person. You don't want to be the people like. And then my buddy Kevin was telling me like something like one factor in just general quality of life when you age is the ability to get up and out of a chair without assistance.
Yeah,
like when we're talking old.
Mm-hmm. True.
But the same thing we hear from, like, probably our parents and everything is, like, you never thought you're going to get to this age.
Yeah.
Like, you never thought of, like, you know, when I'm 60, this is what I would like to have. Like, you don't – I didn't think like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm trying to, like, before it's too late. take some control over my body. And it's been good, man. Like, I had to go physical therapy because when I got up to Oregon here and, like, I was just laying mm-hmm. flat all winter and then we'd just go lay on the couch and it would just be wet outside and I wouldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And that's why, like, my knees would just, like, oh, I had to walk the one step into the garage and my knee would be like, nah, now your whole leg's fucked up for a week. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I got to do something.
Well.
I get it,
speaking
buddy.
Of self-care and physical therapy. This that fall happened on the same day that now I don't ever do this kind of stuff. I told you I've never had a massage. And it's not because I don't want one. I just feel I think I'm too ticklish for it. I don't go to the chiropractor. I don't do anything, obviously. I mean, I work out some. I got the kettlebells in here and I do that. But Katie's always griping at me that I don't do enough self-care. And I was like, well, I don't really know what the hell that is. But anyway,
it's different
so
for everybody.
She got me a session.
Rack of ribs and a joint is self-care for some people, Dave. So
exactly. I do it well that way.
Yeah, judge not.
She got me a session with a gua sha practitioner. I think I'm pronouncing that. Yeah. G-U-A space S-H-A. Gua sha. You ever heard of gua sha?
No, I have not.
You would like it. You would like it.
What you texted me was hilarious, by the way.
I'm going to give you this lady's number. Yeah. All right, think of it as like a... Now, she says this is not a massage, but the best way I could describe it is it's like a deep tissue massage, mm-hmm. but she's got hand tools. She's got like a pair of brass knuckles. She's got a little hand spade. She's got literally tools.
I think you got jumped. That's
how she beat the shit out of me. It was a 2-hour session.
That's how you get a massage is somebody, Katie has to schedule somebody to jump you in an alley. And then once you're down, they really get in there and work the muscles.
I feel like I got jumped into a street gang. And I look like I
got
a member
of the
gua sha.
That's not the massage. That is a Vietnamese, deadly Vietnamese street gang. And you're in
the gua sha Ramblers.
Yeah. 8th Street Gua Sha Boys.
Dude, she beat the shit out of me. It's the most painful thing I've ever experienced in a consistent basis.
Really?
Like, it was painful.
Yeah.
I was screaming. I was like, I was just yeah. doing, like, just gritting my teeth and, like,
yeah.
All right, so it's kind of like a massage. I had to go to her house. And she texts you her address the day before because she has a lot of high-end clients and she has famous people and athletes and they all have to sign NDAs, which I don't quite understand. Like, who cares if we find out that an athlete's getting, you know, physical therapy done? It's not like she's a sex worker or something. Like, it's incredibly
as far private. As you know.
But anyway, yeah, as far as it did feel like this was like one notch below like going to a dominatrix. I mean,
God, imagine
this isn't a slight on her. This isn't a pejorative, but like, I feel like that's her moonlighting gig. Like it seemed like such a lateral move.
Well, okay. The happy ending massage. I've never had one. I can't imagine that the massage part is any good.
Yeah.
Like, I really think it's like, well, yeah, you know, going for the thing at the end here.
That's funny.
But imagine if that was still, yeah, what if that was still part of the massage that you were getting? Like, after she destroyed your body, she's like, now show me your dick. You're like, get away from there, lady.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. You're going to yank it like an old pull start mower.
Oh, my God. Dislocates my dick.
Well, it's 32 inches long now, but no chance of ever working again.
Oh boy,
this thing's done. It's like when
she's
you see
the wire under there or something.
Yeah, you see the videos of the guys in India that'll just grab a cobra with their bare hands and snap its neck by twirling it around real fast. Like, it was a threat at one point, but now it's totally useless.
Oh man. But yeah, so I had to go over to her house. Super eccentric, jolly lady.
Mm-hmm.
She's if anybody wants to look her up on Instagram or TikTok, wherever, she's Jackie the Muscle Whisperer. That's what she goes by. She's Jackie the Muscle Whisperer.
I'm looking up right now.
And she beat the ever-living shit out of me for 2 hours, dude. I'm battered and bruised. I've never been so tender and brittle.
This sounds like it is not above board whatsoever. The Muscle Whisperer.
No, she had a certificate framed on the wall. She's certified in something. I don't know. And she was awesome. She's great. Very friendly. But my God, just.
Oh, this lady looks like this lady looks like she means business.
She's not fucking around. And it was a hell of an experience, man. And now you have to choose. She can't work on your whole body because she does so much damage. I'm bruised beyond belief.
She does so much damage.
She does. Like, literally, she does so much damage that she's like, I can't do your whole body because of the inflammation. Like, so you got to either pick upper body or lower body.
Oh, yeah, because, like, when you get a massage, it's supposed to, like, release all these toxins into your body. And that's why you got to, like, drink a lot of water after a massage. They say to do that.
And I guess, and I'm just going off of what she told me, but she was working out my fascia. There's all this buildup of toxins and white blood cells and all this stuff. And, like, she's just, you got to work it out.
Yeah.
And, man, it hurt. So my traps, you know, like my neck muscles and shoulder muscles, like she spent like an hour just on my left side, just digging that brass knuckle tool down into my traps, and I'm just fucking screaming. At one point, she's trying to make small talk about her garden, and she's telling me about her garden, and she's got corn. And right when she said corn, she hit some nerve, and I just went, "Fuck your corn!" And it hurts so bad. Oh my God.
What did you do? Have to offer up like your bank account information to get her to stop or something?
Oh man, like it really was rough. And I learned this too. I had no idea about this whole the whole concept is that our body stores trauma. And I never thought about that. But you think about any type of traumatic event that you went through in your life, I always assume that that's only relative to like your mental health. I never thought about like experiences. Now I know like physical trauma, you're in a car wreck and you hurt your knee, you know, obviously, but like I never thought about like mental trauma affecting you physically. But apparently, we all, to different levels of degree, hold on to some trauma in our body.
Yeah.
And you have to like work that shit out. And she said this, and Katie verified it too. I just thought it was like my fat guy hump. Like, yeah, you know how some fat guys, especially if they got a bald or a shaved head, they got the pack of hot dogs on the back of their neck?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And, I've noticed in the last few years that I kind of got a little extra hump at the base of my neck where my neck meets my shoulders. And I just thought you're just a fat guy, Dave. But apparently I was storing a lot of shit in there, and she worked it out. And I can't really see it too well because mirrors and whatnot. But she was like, oh, at the end, she was like, oh, your neck is longer.
Because mirrors and Katie, whatnot.
Well, no, I got to get two
put
mirrors.
Put that in there whether you ever fuck with a big old pot of bean. I can't see my back on account of mirrors and whatnot. But goddamn, dude.
But apparently my fucking hump is gone.
Well, congratulations. Dave's hump is gone. Dave done got himself a longer neck.
She literally in 2 hours altered the shape of my body. Apparently and then my neck is longer, and I got rid of that little, as Maria Bamford calls it, her Diet Coke hump. she's got a little Diet Coke hump. You know, like older people, when you get older, you get these weird little humps and then
I wonder if that has to do with like, again, my posture, or I've sat in an office for 30 years without taking the time to stretch and straighten out and mind and tend to these things, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right, our next partner has a product I use literally almost every day. I'm talking about Athletic Greens. I've been talking about that for months now. It's just simple and easy, and you don't have to think about it. What is Athletic Greens? Well, with one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens, all to help start your day right. The special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, supports your nervous system, your immune system, energy, recovery, focus, aging, all that stuff. I've told you the story. I lost a lot of weight for the wedding, gained a lot of it back, and Athletic Greens is helping me slowly but surely get back to a more healthy lifestyle. It's lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, gluten-free, whatever. Contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything, and it still tastes good. Doesn't taste like your typical green smoothie. Kale, blah, I hate the taste of kale. It's so bad. You can't even, this probably has kale in it. You can't even taste it. Just a nice, light, tropical taste. Nothing too heavy. Nothing chemically. Nothing artificial. Costs less than $3 a day. You spend more on that, and God knows everything. Everything costs more than $3 a day, right? Your coffee, your what have you. $3 a day. We could all kind of figure out how to come up with $3 a day for the sake of your own health, right? This isn't some timeshare investment scam. This is your own health. $3 a day. There you go. Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews recommended by professional athletes. A lot of people taking multivitamins. It's important to choose one with the high-quality ingredients that your body will actually absorb. Just think of this as like the ultimate multivitamin. One scoop in 8 to 12 ounces of water. Mine came with a little shaker. Boom, you just shake it up, suck it down. You don't got to blend it. You don't have to chop or clean or peel any vegetables. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/boogie. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/boogie to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance, athleticgreens.com/boogie.
Hey, everybody, I'm Patton Oswalt.
I'm Meredith Salinger.
We got a podcast called Did You Get My Text? And we are starting to have guests on. And oh, the guests we have had.
We have had Robert Carradine from Revenge of the Nerds. We've had Breckin Meyer. We've had Seth Green and Claire Grant. We've had Steve Agee. We have Ben Stiller coming up.
We've had Amy Mann and Michael Penn.
We have amazing Barack Obama and Michelle sitting down. Are, oh, they're not coming?
Well, that's a little aspirational. Oh. Are you trying to manifest it?
I'm going
to
manifest it.
We have Barack Obama coming in to talk, solely to talk about the Pixies album Bossa Nova. That's all we're going
to
talk about.
So tune in to Did You Get My Text? Wherever you get your podcasts, and laugh and cry and be inspired, because Barack Obama is coming up.
I'm looking at Gua Sha, and I see the thing, the weapon you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I went to get my tendonitis in my leg and everything worked out. The guy hit me with that thing on my thigh, and it's basically it looks like a they broke off the end of a spatula and sharpened it, and yeah, was just digging down my whole thigh with that thing. And same thing, I was like I'll tap out if I need to, and I wanted to right away.
Yeah, I tried to tap out a couple times, but she just wasn't having it.
Yeah, submission.
But
got a submission.
But
massage.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about that. And then more specifically, she was telling me about how something about how your right side holds a lot of your masculine either trauma or energy, and your left side is more feminine. And she was just talking about, like, for example, if you have mommy issues, you're going to carry more of that shit on your left side, your left shoulder, the left arms and stuff like that. And she does a little bit of like prying, like psychologically, just to kind of see where to go, and put it this way, like my dad's side was fine, and my feminine mom's side needed a lot of work, which is not inaccurate.
I would like to see you explain to your southern mother that your Gua Sha therapist through her jade healing stone, found out that there's a lot of trauma held up with your relationship with her.
Oh my god. Oh man.
I like just, this.
And normally,
I like this version of Dave. That's like going in. Do you ever think like 20 years ago you'd be this guy?
Oh, I say this to Katie all the time, and I know it's annoying, but it's just such a fun comparison or analogy, you know. But just if you'd have told me 10 years ago or 20 years ago what I'd be doing, like if you'd have told me 20 years ago everything in my life that's happening right now, if you'd have told me 20 years ago it'd be going on, I'd think you were insane. what are you talking about? I mean, it's just incredible. But yeah. And then like, so she talked about like other trauma and stuff. And like, normally, you know, I was like, all right, I'm going to be a good sport. I'm going to play the game. Katie got me this session. It's not cheap either.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, I'm going to play the game and do the thing. And then she started talking about like, you know, any potential trauma or bad experiences. I told her about the whole cop stuff and all the bad stuff I saw when I was a cop, and just like, yeah, you hold on to all that shit. Like,
yeah, I mean,
all the dead bodies I saw are now were stored inside my shoulders.
But that is true. I mean, think about anybody like, oh, you're tense. Well, tense is an emotion, you know, and it's also a physical trait.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a tense situation. You know, this is a loaded situation. That's tense. Well, that will manifest itself. I mean, that part makes sense to me. That's not all. I don't think that's all hippy dippy shit at all. That
And I'm not saying it is. Yeah,
that your physical can affect your mental, and your mental can affect your physical.
Yeah, yeah, and I never thought of that. And I think cortisol, she talks about like your when we have trauma, your flight or fight senses kick in. Mm-hmm. And I forgot which one, but we store a lot of cortisol from those experiences. And like, I've had, not to like brag, but mm-hmm. I've had a lot more fight or flight scenarios in my life than the average person.
I don't think you've ever flown, Dave.
Yeah, I don't fly. I try not to fly. Speaking of which,
Dave don't got no wings. He's going to punch you.
I'm too lazy to fly, what? So I'm going to stand here and swing.
Years ago, somebody had like a ranch land or something. They had goats, and they talked about how they would harvest or dispatch the goats to eat. And they were kind of like, not hippy-dippy, but like, yeah, we have these goats and we do butcher them. But they would take them out, like they would feed them nice and treat them nice. It almost sounds kind of sinister. But then make sure to surprise them by shooting them in the back of the head. Because if they can sense the danger, it like doesn't spoil the meat, but makes it all stupid. But it probably shoots adrenaline through it.
Yeah.
And makes it tough and makes it like... And maybe that was some hippy dippy stuff, but like, okay, that's trauma can trauma can lead to all kinds of physical tension. Fear gets you all tightened up, and if you stay mm-hmm. tightened up, that fucks up your body. But yeah, it makes sense to me.
And I had this real minor shoulder injury. I think I've had this since high school football, but like. On my left side, which is the feminine mom side, mm-hmm. I hurt my shoulder somehow, and I wasn't able to do like a full circle, you know, when I'm swinging, working out, loosening up my arms and shoulders. Mm-hmm. I like to make the big circles and the small circles and whatnot. But my left shoulder, I couldn't make a full circle. It was about 320 degrees instead of 360.
Okay,
and she fixed that. Now perfect, just like the right one. So, and that's been like that for 25 years. I've had that little issue, and it hasn't been a big enough issue for me to go see a doctor or do anything about it. I've just always noticed like, oh, can't do that shoulder the whole way, and boom, fix that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, obviously, there's got to be some benefits because, like, man, like it was – I must have burned 2,000 calories. Like just grunting and squinting and just cussing and just tensing, like, and it was just like it just didn't end. It was just 2 hours of that.
That seems normal.
Yeah. We'd take breaks here and there. She'd have to ice me down. Like, you know, she'd work on one side real heavy for like 10 minutes and then put ice
like
back
on
for 5 minutes.
Like you did ayahuasca or something.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, it was it's one of the most intense things I've ever done in terms of, you know, like self-help or whatever.
So you did that, and then you immediately negated all the relaxation by falling in the shower.
No, I fell in the shower before.
Oh, right, it was before. It was
the same morning. Yep. Which is also odd. So now, and when I got done with her, like, I had bruises all over my shoulder and neck. And I was just like, what are the odds that I'd get bruised from two different sources on the same day when I haven't had a bruise in 10 years?
You got,
like, that's bizarre.
You got worked. You got worked over, dude.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Well, you all right now? You okay, Dave?
Yeah.
Remember,
yeah,
you
I
know,
think
this
so.
Is like, let's not keep it pent up because that's why you had to have the lady beat the shit out of you. Talk about your feelings here if you want to. It's a safe place, Dave.
I almost asked her to give me a wrist rug burn. I just chickened out on that.
You're just making up your own shit for her to do.
Well, just, you know, because I like that anyway. It's like, why don't we do something that I actually enjoy? But then I was afraid, you know, what if, yeah, I didn't want to.
Pull out one of my teeth and then pour hot coffee in my ear.
But no, I think you might enjoy it, man. I think I'm going to give you your number. And I mean, it's a hell of an experience. And like, other than the surface level bruising, other than the multiple abrasions, I do feel great about it now. Like, deep, all the work she did and getting out that fascia. Yeah, man, like, I feel so much lighter and looser. And according to her and Katie, my neck is longer. So
Dave's 6'2" now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hard to tell.
Well, that's good. I like this new age West Hollywood Dave. I like Hawaiian shirt, getting crazy massages.
Yeah, man.
Walking his little dog around West Hollywood. I'm on board for all of it, man.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah. You know, you got to be open to grow and change. And it's not like...
Yeah.
You know, it's not like... I had some firm stance on anything to begin with, so why not just be open to?
But you're
kind of experience new stuff.
You're like a dude without like having to tell everybody like I'm I like man stuff. Man, yeah. This problem with nowadays is men aren't being men. You are embodying the fact that yeah, you're still gonna sit and stare at a brisket for 10 hours. And root for the teams you want to win, but then also can do this stuff, and it just means you're a more well-rounded individual. One, the entrance of one does not mean the exit of another thing, and you can be
absolutely.
You can encompass all these things. And I think of all the people, fucking old street fighting Dave, going to get West Hollywood massages and everything. I think it's great. I think you're a role model right now, Dave.
Well, thank you, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's a thing I've always felt in terms of like, you know, I like being a dude. I like being from the South. I like my heritage. I like my principles and values. But I never wanted to be one of those people. And I grew up around all those types of people in the South. Like, yes, I'm stubborn, but I never want to be so stubborn that it's against my better interest. Like,
yeah.
I want to be smart enough to be open-minded about certain things. You know, there's certain things that I won't be open-minded about, but there's other things. It's like, why not? Why? I don't know. I just grew up around just this is how it's always been done, and this is how I'm going to do it.
Well,
like, you ever think about doing it this way? Huh? Queer?
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
That joke you have about, like, oh, we'll eat possum. You ever try Indian food? Oh, gross.
I've just always despised that mentality of like you said, you can do both. You can still have your values and principles, but be open-minded to trying a new fucking cuisine. We're not asking you to try a new religion. Just try some fucking Indian food.
Yeah.
Just try it. Just that closed-minded, no, I don't know about it, so it's probably stupid.
Yeah.
I just hate that fucking mentality.
Yeah. It confuses me, and if it confuses me, it means it's wrong. Not that I should learn more. And I don't mean to. That accent doesn't even deserve that statement. That's people from all walks of life. I don't understand it. Then that means it's wrong because I know everything already. Like, okay.
Ugh, no. No. I'm just smart enough to know that I don't know shit.
Well.
So why not be open to some new stuff?
Yeah, man. I'm excited for you. I like what's going on.
Ray Liotta died.
Well, yeah, that's
a bummer.
I've never seen Field of Dreams. Here's some Ray Liotta's most memorable. It's Goodfellas.
Yeah, Goodfellas.
It's so Goodfellas. Yeah. He also looks like my dad's cousin Danny, like to a T.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Like as a little kid, Goodfellas came out. I think it was like sixth grade or something. Like that's. That's my dad's the people that you call uncles or aunts, even though they're like your dad's cousin and nobody knows the title for that shit. Like that guy, he's in my family.
What's crazy about Goodfellas is obviously he plays I think it takes place over a couple of decades. Mm-hmm. But I think when they filmed Goodfellas, I think he was like 34, 35. But that first scene when he's an adult, not the teenage Ray Liotta character, or Henry Hill character, but when they first show him and Joe Pesci as adults, his character's like 21, mm-hmm. but Ray Liotta in his acne scars and his grizzled face who's really like 34, 35. It's not that huge of a jump, but it's still like, whoa, there's no way that guy's 21.
No, Liotta's got some hard years on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still don't know how he died. I haven't heard that. He died in his sleep, so good for him.
Yeah, I mean, he was in his 60s. Not old, not young. Just maybe shit happened. Anyway.
Yeah. You ever see Copland? That's a good one he's in.
I can't even think of another Stallone. Ray Liotta movie.
Yeah.
He's like Copland one of those guys, like, I don't want to see him in another. Like, Stallone's in another movie? No, man. You're Rocky or you're Rambo.
He was in the Operation Dumbo Drop or something like that.
Oh, you Rambo's that in this movie.
Oh, man. All right, I got to complain about UPS.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, why were you going to fight UPS? Don't. Well, now you're going to store UPS up all this tent. You just enjoy that's it. Have true. Take a couple days of having the gua sha released you of all worldly tension.
I'm selling my car this week, so I'm trying to get all my paperwork in order and the title and everything. Mm-hmm. And went up to CarMax and they gave me an offer. I like that. By the way, if you're trying to sell a vehicle. CarMax. It was so easy.
Yeah, some people love a low ball.
Yeah. I knew what I wanted before. Get this, seriously, I knew what I was wanting. I didn't tell them this. And they fucking nailed it literally to the dollar.
I think
I want to get X amount and they gave me that.
I think I got about $5,000 more for my Jeep than what CarMax was gonna offer, so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying, yeah, you probably do better selling it, to an individual. But if you don't
want to, if you don't want the bullshit,
all that,
yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah, just boom, go in. Anyway, so they appraise it, and then they give you an offer, and that offer's good for 7 days. Well, I'm still trying to figure. Got some stuff to do with the title. I paid off the car, but I hadn't got the title yet, and then I got the title. And anyway, I had to mail something. I overnighted a thing. I was like, all right, I can mail it back to the bank. They can mail it to me. If I do it overnight both ways, it'll, I can get all this done within the 7-day thing. Mm-hmm. Guess how much they charge to overnight, not a set of dumbbells, but just 2 8x10 pieces of copy paper.
Overnight?
From California to Indiana.
Okay.
What would you think overnight? The quickest route possible that they offer. Again, not a TV or piece of furniture.
No, for next day.
Next day, a couple of documents. Take a guess.
Oh, $30 bucks?
$163.
Wait, what?
$163. What? Yeah. But I wanted to get all this done, and I was like, fuck it, let's just get
what,
this done.
Wait a minute, what was it, like the title and everything? Not something that could be emailed. Okay, all right.
Yeah, yeah, it was title with signatures and stuff like that. Okay. And then, okay, so what I was going to do is I was going to mail it to them, and then I was also going to buy a prepaid envelope so they could just mail it back. They don't have to pay anything. They just drop it off, boom, boom, boom. Mm. When she said, quote, 163, I thought it was for both ways. And I was like, Jesus, that's a lot, but okay. No, no, no. That was just one way, $163. For some reason, the exact same route was half the price. So mailing it back was $85 and something.
That's,
so altogether,
yeah,
I'm like over $250 here to mail. Anyway, so here's my point, to get it overnighted. It's like, all right, so one day to get there and one day to get back. That means, and then they gave me the tracking number and the estimate. Be here Friday morning by 8:30. And I'm like, great, because I mailed it Wednesday morning. All right, Wednesday gets it to them. Thursday they receive it, mail it back. By Friday I got it. So $250-some, whatever. And then doesn't show up on Friday.
Yeah.
And then I check the tracking, and oops, it literally says oops. Like their little default cutie, little cute default thing. Oops. Looks like your package got, how do they address it? Missorted. Your package got missorted, and now it'll be here Tuesday the 31st. Fucking.
And they don't think they don't refund it either at UPS.
Oh, I was about to. I tried to get it, and they're like, "Well, we can do that, but we can't do it until you receive the package."
Oh, they will give you your money back, though.
Well, this lady implied that they would do it, but they couldn't do it when I called because I had yet to receive it. I'm like, "Well, whenever the fuck I do receive it, it's not going to be the one night overnight fee I paid. So why don't you go ahead and charge me your 5-day fee or your 6-day fee or God knows when it ever is going to show up?"
Yeah.
So, I will be getting a refund. So,
Dave's got gua sha strength.
I mean,
he
come on,
beats my ass.
But like, what the fuck? And again, I didn't fall out of a tree and kick in an old man's door and say, "Hey, mail this for me, Grandpa." Like, this is what you do. This is your business. How does it get missorted? Especially when when someone pays $160 to have something, but maybe put a different sticker, like, "Hey, pay special attention to this one, because this sucker paid way too much, so let's not missort this thing."
I mean,
and also, like, if someone's getting something overnighted, it's probably because it's time sensitive. So not only did you fuck me with that.
Somebody, who was I tied to, like, obviously, we talked our shit on the USPS before, and I think it's just a shit happens thing. I used to do warehouse, like shipping, receiving stuff. And it really was just, I would load trucks, like tractor trailers full of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And just look at like these pallets of bullshit going out of just where I worked and think about how they go to like. I don't know, Dave. I don't know. It's you think you're spending the money like, "Oh yeah, okay, this is a special one. We'll keep an eye on it."
Yeah.
But that is not the case all the time, buddy. I don't know. Sorry for your inconvenience.
Yeah.
Is it the worst thing in the world though?
I'm okay.
Is it the worst thing?
You'll be all right. Not at all.
You're going to be all right, Dave.
I'll be fine. Went and saw some live music this week. Had a good time.
Who'd you go see?
You ever been to the Bourbon Room in Hollywood?
Okay, no.
Beautiful.
And it's, that's the name, where is it?
It's Hollywood and Vine, I think. Hollywood and Highland, right there in the heart.
I'm going to look
there
it in the up heart right Hollywood. Now. The Bourbon.
Beautiful venue. I mean, just gorgeous. I don't know how long it's been there.
It's named after that's the bar, that's the venue that's supposed to be the whiskey in the film Rock of Ages.
Oh, really? Okay.
Or at least that's what they call that's what they call the whiskey in Rock of Ages is the Bourbon Room.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
So let me see.
Yeah, I didn't even know about this venue. But I went and saw Joshua Ray Walker. Country music dude. Just phenomenal.
If you don't have a middle name of Ray or Wayne, what are you even trying to be in country music for?
Awesome. Cannot recommend this guy enough if you're into the country at all, but just not like super, you know, I talk a lot about alt country, but like Texas country, almost like kind of like 90s Garth Brooks, but a little less hokey, but like just good, like just Texas songwriting, just good country music. And just guy's got a phenomenal voice. He's he yodels. He can hit this falsetto note that's just beautiful. But yeah, the band was awesome. The venue was awesome. But Joshua Ray Walker, real good time.
This might be the old I don't know if you remember. There was a spot. It was called like Loaded. And it was allegedly on like Motley Crue or whatever. It was called Load. It was like just a rock bar that tried very hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became, this is on the same street as Improv Olympic. Okay, never mind. It's not. But and then it was like a Star Wars theme bar. It was like Hollywood Boulevard. You would think it's this amazing piece of real estate, Hollywood Boulevard, and the amount of money laundering, weird lingerie shops and stuff that exists. So like, how are you affording this? But okay, the Bourbon Room. All right. Looks like a cool spot.
Yeah. Awesome venue. Yeah, it's really cool. Okay. With their buddy, James Fritz.
Oh, Fritzy.
Alan Strickland Williams.
Oh, ASW.
Oh, man, this place. ASW is a smooth fellow.
Oh, he sure is.
it's fun to watch smooth fellas do their thing.
It's fun to watch smooth fellas do their thing.
He was laying it down. He was hitting on our server, and it was just black belt level. Just like, he was just so smooth. Good for him.
Well, he's the kind of guy that, like, there's a... At least now I am not a woman being hit on. God, I love when I'm sitting in here. Sorry, I'm sitting in here and a lady's letting her dog shit in the yard and she's picking it up. That's all I ask. All right, that's all I ask. Thank you.
Yeah. Why would you?
Thank you for being... Because sometimes people are jerks. Not really around here too much. I told you one time I saw a dog shit and the lady like kept walking and I went outside and turned the corner and she... Like, I was like, kind of like, oh, and then she was coming back. She's like, I didn't have bags. I had to go home and get a bag. I'm like, what a nice person.
Mm-hmm. That's happened. Yeah.
Yeah. But she went back to her house to get the thing. Sorry. Got sidetracked by seeing it. I think, like, is it that he's kind of funny when he does it? So it doesn't seem creepy.
Yeah, it didn't seem creepy. It was very, he's a genuine dude anyway, mm-hmm. But he was complimenting her on her little hair berets or something. But just the way he did it, it didn't seem creepy and it didn't seem obnoxious. But it was still, you could tell it was effective because, like, you know, her body language and she was giggling. But it was just like, man, way to go, buddy. Way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he doesn't look like a typical creep. Whatever, I don't know.
Yeah, he's about 90 pounds soaking wet.
Yeah, he's not like he's all broed out and aggressive demeanor or anything. He's a real mild mannered.
Yeah.
But oh man, it was impressive because I've been out of that game for so long. Not just because I'm married, but like even before, like I've never been like let's go out and get some pussy. I've never been that guy.
No. So
never, like I said, I sincerely think. Now, I wouldn't bet my life on this, but I'm pretty sure I have never bought a stranger a drink. I've never bought a lady I didn't already know a drink. And it's like, hey, complete stranger, can I buy you a drink? Nope. I've just never been that guy.
And Dave, as I'm looking, I'm trying to get pictures of the Bourbon Room because I'm trying to see if it's – now I'm just like going down this hole of like, is that the place that used to be the other thing? Old 97s, our friend of the show, Rhett Miller, his band, the Old 97s will be there on June 5th.
Oh, hell yeah.
So maybe you got to roll back to this new favorite bar of yours and go see
it. I think I'm going to have to. It's beautiful.
For those who don't know, that was a power move when we went and saw him on the – and the company Christmas party, the Boogie Monster company Christmas party out to Pappy and Harriet's, and we were on their bus, and Rhett's like, get whatever you want to eat. And I'm like, that means, you know, a polite portion of something. Dave's like, really? Anything you want. All right, full rack of ribs. Like, all right, Dave. The rest of the band's looking at him like, who the fuck is this guy eating a rack of ribs on our bus?
Hey, I may never have that opportunity again. Probably not.
What opportunity, to hang out with the old 97s or to get a free rack of ribs?
Both at the same time. Two of my passions coming together. Yeah, that was a good time.
It was.
And then the time before that, we went and saw them together at some venue in Hollywood. And I got so drunk that I just Irish goodbye'd and walked to Denny's and ate a real mediocre chicken fried steak.
Was that?
Just disappeared. It was me, you, and Brian Cook. And somebody else was there.
Was it Fritz?
And might have been Fritz. Yeah. I think some venue right there on
that's
Hollywood.
The Fonda.
Was that the Fonda? Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that because I remember it was Greg Barrett hooked up tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going and, yeah, I was there with Fritz and everybody left and, like, I had backstage passes and I went back and I was just, I remember tweeting something like, I'm too drunk to be backstage at the old 97 show and hadn't met, like, I felt too weird to, like, introduce myself. And then Rhett Miller, that's the first interaction, like, tweeted back, like, me too. I know he was joking because I think he was sober at that point. But that was the origin story to the taking a cab to Wendy's.
Right.
That was, that's how I left. I left and took a cab to Wendy's. That was from that show. And then, oh man. And then I went and saw him. I was in Chicago and I went with a buddy and saw him at the Metro. And boy, I'm too old to have stories about being that drunk, but went to the Ginger Man next door. Sorry, the G Man Tavern, it's called now. And it never had Fireball before. And the bartender gave me a shot of Fireball. And I was like just sitting at a table with my friend. And I was like, boy, that stuff wasn't good. He's like, yeah, just don't barf. I'm like, I'm not going to barf. And then just threw up on his shoes.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Which I also did last Friday. Oh, I went and saw.
You barf?
I didn't. This is what I was getting in an argument with Rachel. I didn't barf. I spit up. I had.
Can get you a bib.
I went and saw Bronger. Bronger was playing here in Portland, so we all went to the show and then went to a bar afterwards. And then, like, him and Rachel, like, we're getting shots. And Rachel's like, you don't need a shot. I'm like, don't tell me what to do. And then it was Mezcal, and I did not know it was Mezcal. And you don't really shoot Mezcal.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like a shot.
It wasn't for me, because I put it in, and then I'm like, I'm going to go stand over here. And, like, if I like barfing from drinking, like it's already, I'm already embarrassed to have any stories like this at this age. Like we can't be fall in the shower.
Yeah.
Old, but also I've drank a mixed alcohols and barfed old, but it was like just the amount that I drank of the shot came back out. Was like, well, we don't want that. And just threw it back. I just threw it back to the
That's
world.
That's funny. So you really did spit up.
Yeah, I didn't barf. It wasn't like, oh, here's dinner, here's lunch, here's all the beers I drank. It was like, nope, that thing, that's bad. Get it out and just, yep.
Wow.
I was fine. It was just my body rejected that amount of that particular alcohol. So if anything, that's a level of control. Holy shit, man. The Plain White Tees are playing at the Bourbon Room. Those guys grew up in my hood.
Oh, really? I've heard that name. I don't know what they sound like.
They had some twee acoustic hit, but they were part of the old pop punk scene in Chicago, suburban Chicagoland.
Huh.
Is that still? I think I even know. I knew one of the guys in there. Joshua. Oh, I'm seeing this guy. Oh, he's a big fella.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a big boy.
He play guitar?
Big boy. Yes. Shreds.
Yeah.
Fucking shreds.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, he's amazing, though. Really good.
That shouldn't have been the first thing I pointed out about a guy.
But yeah, just right up my alley. Really good stuff. And then he has, I think he was in another band that you might like. I want to say they were the Ottoman Turks. And that was more of his, like, cowpunk stuff.
Sounds familiar. But,
Ottoman Turks.
Thinking like New Bomb Turks or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, that's all good. That's good stuff. Outside of your UPS mishap, I feel like it's otherwise good news in a week of shitty world news. So I'd say we leave it at good time vibes.
Might as well. Real quick, quickest recipe I've ever given out. Real quick.
You ever finally put butter on toast? See you next week.
you would enjoy this one, Kyle. Made some homemade pickled red onions.
Okay, all right.
I love pickled red onions, like at the taco truck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love the pink. Oh, boy, love it. All you do, take your red onion, slice it up how you like it, you know, whatever kind of slice you want to throw on that. Then get you about five or six limes and just squeeze some fresh lime juice and into like a little Tupperware thing. And then take your shredded before you do that, get you a bowl of really hot water. And after mm-hmm. you slice those onions, let them soak in a bowl of really hot water for about 20 minutes. Now, after a few minutes, it won't be really hot, but, you know, starts off really hot. Let them soak in that for 20 minutes. Dry them off real good. Then you throw them in the lime juice. You know, I squeeze the lime juice right into a little Tupperware thing, five or six limes. And then you throw your onions in there. And about 24 hours later, you got bright pink, acidic, delicious pickled red onions. Lasts for about a month.
Yeah, Rachel now you could, some of those. They're good.
Love it.
Man.
You could add jalapenos. You could add a little red wine vinegar. You could add some spices. Do whatever you want. But at the bare minimum, just the lime juice and the onions is enough to really give you a good, nice little condiment there. So,
because what's pickled
red onions?
What's the like the way people talk about pickling stuff? Mm-hmm. I was just half-assing and just putting cucumbers into old pickle juice and letting it sit for a while.
Yeah. Anyway, which is not a bad idea.
No, it got there. But something about, like, you got to heat the jars up. Because it's something you want to, like, vacuum the pickling elements into the vegetable.
Yeah, that's more of the canning process.
Oh, okay.
You put a seal on there and it just it adds the shelf life. You know, you take, I don't know all the mm-hmm. science behind it, but yeah, there's a step in the canning process with the mason jars or the ball jars and mm-hmm. the lids and all that. And it's supposed to seal it up so that it'll have a longer shelf life.
But man, I'd make a meal out of those. The pickled vegetables just on the counter at the taco truck.
Love it.
Yeah, dude.
That's why I love Korean barbecue so much. They bring, literally, it's like over a dozen, like 15 or 20 weird little things out.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
all pickled and kimchi'd, and I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I remember being in Korea and like, I guess I'll just have a dinner. And like, I got the full spread like I was a family of six. I'm like, all right, guys.
Yeah.
Like, did the whole country just make too much kimchi? Like, they can't get rid of it enough.
Oh boy!
Well, so no fun fixings today. Just sitting there with your aches and pains.
Sitting here with my aches and pains. I think I am gonna do well. See, I love where we live now, but the only place is I don't have my smoker. I don't have my smoker now.
Oh, okay.
It's in storage. So you know, these holidays just not quite as fun as they used to be.
You're longing for a slow cooked meal.
Yeah. I think I do have a rack of ribs. I think I'm going to do in the oven.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to braise them, and I think I'm going to do maybe some jerk. Got that nice jerk seasoning. I'll rub all over them. Put them in a pot, braise them with a little beer, cook them about 3.5 hours at 350. Should be good.
I stopped. We were at the fancy grocery store the other day, and they got like the deli counter and everything. And they had some like, it just looked like a cow elbow. I couldn't even tell. It was just like so peppered and encrusted. And it was in the cured meat section. And I was like, I want to know what that is, because it looked good.
Huh.
And the lady behind the counter just goes, oh, you can try anything. And I'm like, well, Rachel, you got to try a piece of this. That uh-huh. one thin slice. And I can't remember what it was. Not capicola, but she's like, you need to try this. I took a bite of it. I was like, oh, shit. It was it was almost like, this might not sound appetite, like a chunk of, I don't even know what kind of animal it was. I think pork. But like
chunk of pork, a chunk is always appetizing.
But like dried and cured, mm-hmm. like a ham. It was candy like. Mm. It's a thin slice.
It had nice bark on it.
It had killer bark. The bark is what drew me to it. I'm like, what's this little dust covered elbow meat here? But so I had a bite, and then that was it. I'm like, all right, I'm back out. I can't. I'm on the edge right now by having this bite with a holiday coming up, with a grilling holiday. Get out of here.
Dust covered elbow meat sounds like a Ministry album.
It's a B-side to Jesus Built My Hot Rod.
Yeah. That's quite as good as Psalm 69. It's pretty good.
All right.
Oh, boy. Happy Memorial Day, Kyle.
Happy
Thank
Memorial
you for your service,
Day to
buddy.
You. Yeah. Hope your ribs heal up all right.
Yeah.
You tenderized your own ribs.
Yeah, exactly. Weekend. Speaking of jerk ribs. Oh, boy.
Well, you heal up, buddy.
All right, buddy. Keep it between the ditches. We'll talk at you next week.
Yep.
The Boogie Monster.
Podcast Network.